Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
The managing of that data coming down is going to be very difficult. And our big dishes, we have very huge dishes that we use for our deep space probes, really don't have the bandwidth or the time to deal with this. And so I think this is going to be a niche area.
Moorhead State University will become one of four locations in the Deep Space Network.
Regent Corporation opened a base in Moorhead today.
Fleming County schools are getting back to normal after storm damage in July.
Senator Rocky Adkins says options for solving the state pension crisis aren't viable for his constituents.
Kentucky ranks among the least diverse states.
In sports, the Reds will try to take down St. Louis tonight at the Great American Ballpark.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University will be added to NASA's Deep Space Network, more commonly known as the DSN. NASA Administrator Robert Lightfoot made the announcement during a special event today downtown in Moorhead. Lightfoot says plugging Moorhead State University's Space Science Center into the DSN will take about a year.
We have over 100 spacecraft on orbit today. Okay, and that number seems kind of interesting until you look at what we're doing with the Deep Space Network and the network that we have that allows this data to come down. And when you're sitting there watching stuff go, it's kind of crazy. Today we have three sites that we own. One in Australia, one in Spain, and one in California. Pretty soon, in about a year, I think, roughly, if things go the way we're going to have a fourth one. It's right here.
The DSN is the communication system that makes it possible for NASA to track deep space probes and receive the information from said probes. Originally, there were three sites globally that made up the DSN, but MSU will be the first external site to be added to the network.
Moorhead State President Jay Morgan is pleased with the continued progress at the university's Space Science Center. Morgan says the program, which involves students directly in cutting-edge aerospace engineering, is a major boon for the school.
Well, I personally feel like I kind of fell into a gold mine with a space science program like we have here at Moorhead State. A stellar group of students who are graduating, getting jobs. So folks outside the region know that, and I knew that prior to coming here.
Morgan spoke this afternoon right after an address from the acting head of NASA at the Moorhead Conference Center. MSU's Space Science Center is set to become one of three sites worldwide connected to NASA's Deep Space Network.
Regent Corporation opened a base in Moorhead today to go along with their other four offices, two in Philadelphia and one each in Arizona and Alabama. Bob Sheena is the CEO and co-founder of Regent Corporation. He's hired many of Moorhead State graduates to work for him.
Got knowledgeable about what Dr. Malthus is doing down here. We were pretty excited. And then last year I said to him, I'd like to hire six of your best graduates. And he's like, well, they're all great. And I said, well, we'll hire six. And so we hired six last year, hired seven or more. I think we're almost at 15 now.
Regent is planning to give the local police department automated drones that can self-create a flight plan on an automated alert from a security system. This will give first responders the ability to see the scene through the cameras on the drones before actually arriving. Drone testing is expected to start in early 2018.
10 public schools, including some from the region, are being recognized by the state. Kinsey Thompson reports.
The Kentucky Department of Education chose these 10 schools for the Winner's Circle Schools for their effective teaching and school leadership practices. They were chosen based on the 2017 Teaching, Empowering, Leading, and Learning Kentucky survey that was given to all public schools last March. Among the 10 schools being honored are Strode Station Elementary in Clark County, Ewing Elementary in Fleming County, and McGoffin County High School. There are other area schools also that earned honorable mention. They are Allen Elementary in Floyd County, Ursul P. Ward Elementary in Fleming County, and Sandy Hook Elementary in Elliott County. The purpose of the recognition process is to provide Kentucky's education officials, its schools, and districts with data that can be used to help them improve. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Fleming County Superintendent Brian Creisman is breathing a sigh of relief with things getting back to normal at Flemingsburg Elementary School. The facility's roof sustained wind damage during a late July storm. Creisman says district officials had initially believed it would take a significant amount of money to fix it.
It wasn't as extensive as we originally thought, which was good because at first we were really engineers were indicating that we may have to replace the entire roof. However, they now they came back and said that the roof only a section of it lifted, which didn't structurally damage it to a point that it had to be replaced.
Coupled with the flood damage sustained at its Citral business office, the Fleming School System is still trying to put a dollar figure on all of the wreckage caused by the July 23rd storm. Creisman is hoping the district's insurance carrier will pay for most of the repairs.
A spending freeze is in place for Lawrence County schools. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
The Lawrence School District is anticipating major funding cuts and is now putting all spending on hold. Ashland Daily Independent reports the state could issue cuts across the board in its spending of up to 17.4%. Potential changes in Kentucky's public employee pension system could add even more financial strain to the Lawrence District. A possible merger of retirement systems for teachers and support workers could cost the district $300,000 per year, according to Superintendent Robbie Fletcher. State cuts may be implemented into flex funds, which provide funding for professional development. Enrollment-based funding, better known as SEEK, will probably not be cut. The spending freeze will likely be in effect until the General Assembly meets in a special session later this year. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
We'll get back to your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from RadioEye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. RadioEye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Kentucky Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins says he believes the inviolable contract the state has with pension holders should be honored. The Democratic leader goes on to say that he hasn't heard any details of a solution that the Republican majority plans to propose, but he feels that they have a, quote, moral and legal obligation to adhere to their previous promises.
That inviolable contract basically is a promise that's been made to our public employees, our teachers, and our retirees, a promise that they'll have the kind of retirement that they signed up for and one that will stay stable as we move forward. So as far as I'm concerned, a promise made is a promise that ought to be kept.
As well as other reforms, Adkins says financial institutions that are investing money from the pensioners need to be put under one roof and monitored more closely. He says because the Republican leadership has postponed tax reform to the upcoming session, Democrats have proposed solutions such as a bill expanding gaming.
One Kentucky lawmaker says a call for the resignation of his chairman seat is, quote, a joke. Members of the Kentucky Democratic Party called on Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield to resign his post as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee last week. Westerfield says he has a lot of support for his work so far.
There was a woman named Alicia Sells who replied some tweets yesterday when I saw that, who talked about some of the things that I've done, that now Secretary Tilley's done. I think I've done a pretty good job as chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Members of the KDP say Westerfield's position conflicts with his 2019 run for Attorney General, and they question his temperament after a testy July exchange during a committee hearing on biological paternal rights in adoption cases.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth says President Trump's threat to destroy North Korea is unprecedented. The Democrat from Louisville is responding to Trump's address to the UN General Assembly in which he threatened to, quote, totally destroy North Korea if it threatens the U.S.
Obviously, his base appreciates that kind of tough talk, but it is unprecedented in modern history anyway that you would go in and threaten to annihilate another country.
Yarmuth says North Korea is unlikely to change because of President Trump's comments.
Kentucky ranks among the least diverse states in the country, according to a new study. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The analysis was published by WalletHub, a personal finance site that compares economic and other stats across states. In their most recent report, the site tracked a number of areas ranging from household to religious diversity, using numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau. All told, the Commonwealth ranked 45th, thanks to especially low results in socioeconomic and cultural diversity measures, a finding consistent with previous studies. WalletHub analyst Jill Gonzalez says while diversity is increasing overall in the U.S., those changes don't always show up when viewed at the state level.
And we definitely do see at least ethno-racial diversity by state hasn't really evolved over time within states. As a country, again, yes, but within states, not necessarily.
California, Texas, and Hawaii topped the list in 2017, while the only states with lower results than Kentucky were Montana, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and West Virginia. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Moorhead's mayor says the city's decision to spend nearly $1.2 million for a new ladder truck for its fire department is a good investment. Jim Tom Trent notes that with Rowan County having about 25,000 residents, along with a regional university and a hospital to protect, it's important the MFD replace its aging ladder truck.
Our guys and gals that work in emergency services take such great care. If you saw our ladder truck, which is a 100-foot apparatus, they call it, if you were to see that, you'd think there's no way that's 35 years old because it takes such good care of it. And fortunately, knock on wood, we've not had to use it every week. But because it is 35 years old, you have certain things like some of the equipment and some of the replacement equipment has become obsolete, and it's a safety issue.
The Moorhead City Council decided to finance the new ladder truck on its own after the U.S. Department of Homeland Security denied three grants requests from the town's fire department. It will take about a year for a company in Ohio to build Moorhead's new truck.
Rowan County will be spending another $42,000 as part of the construction cost of its new detention center. The company painting its interior issued the order after it was feared moisture from the building's bricks and concrete blocks would seep through the walls, creating a white, powdery effervescence, which causes the paint to start coming off of those walls in a very short amount of time. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says spending that money now will likely save the county a whole lot more later.
Well, that's what we're looking at, and if it's done correctly, maybe the paint may last, hopefully, 15, 20 years if we've just taken well care of and we maintain it. If we hadn't added the $42,000 to this, it might start peeling within a year or two.
Rowan's new 275-bed jail is expected to be ready for use by the end of February. The facility is located on U.S. 60, just east of downtown Moorhead.
New low to middle income housing is on its way to Olive Hill. City Council moved forward with the project during last night's monthly meeting. Brian Kirby told council members that a cooperation agreement would help offset the cost and workload of the project.
Basically, as your administrator, act as the liaison between you all and the Housing Authority to bring your reports monthly. Basically, this is kind of turning those tasks over to them.
Kirby says the housing project will likely be completed by March of 2018.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 64, chance of precipitation is 10%. Thursday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 84 and light wind. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 63. Friday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 62. Saturday, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 85. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 61. Sunday, sunny with a high near 84. The current temperatures, 84 degrees in Flemingsburg, 83 degrees in Ashland and Winchester, 82 degrees here in Moorhead and in Lexington and Inez.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, we hear the first part of his conversation with Moorhead resident Denise Jaseor, who was born in Togo, West Africa. Today, she describes how she fled from Togo at the outbreak of the Civil War and her arrival in a refugee camp across the border in Ghana.
Miwa de kalo. My name is Denise Jasayor. I was born October 9, 1967.
You were born in?
Togo, West Africa. My father, he was big farmer.
And so you grew up and you went to school, but there were some bad things that happened to you at an early age.
Yeah, when I was 7, she sent me to buy oil. Mm-hmm. So in my way coming, I was raped.
And this stayed with you, obviously, in your memory.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You started high school mm-hmm. in your hometown.
Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Lomé,
the capital,
I was 19.
You had gone to Lomé with a man.
Uncle Kojo Elias. His life is to help people, and he helped me. I went to school in a town near Lomé to learn basic skill, to learn French. And then I came back to Lomé to go back to cosmetology school 1 year. And then the civil war started. I fled with Uncle Kekeli.
Your first child. And the journey from Lomé to the border, mm-hmm. how long did you walk?
Like 5 days. And in my way, a lot of people helped me. All military, all police, kill because it's a danger place. So anything they see, shoot first. But when they see me, I don't know what is the miracle. Everybody put his arm down. And one, he told me, raise your hand up. And I raised my hand up. And they are all coming to me. And they say, we will not let you go. Because if we let you go, you will be killed, no matter how. And that is amazing. I can cry if I remember that day. It was not easy. So they give me a place to live. And like early in the morning, they help me cross the border.
Into?
Ghana. And I find other people who fled like me. And the local chief helped us, welcome us, give us food, drink. And then we stayed like a few days. So he took us to Kliko camp.
Run by the Ghanaian government.
Yes.
For refugees.
Yes,
from
please.
Togo.
Yes.
So you're there with your first mm-hmm. child. What were the conditions in the camp?
I have a place to sleep. First was in tents. They give us every month corn, oil, salt, beans to eat. Uncle Kojo Elias, he came and met me at a camp. So we have a baby. The camp was close to Togo, so they moved us to another camp.
To begin with, you were in a tent, mm-hmm. and then you built a house
mm-hmm.
from clay.
Yeah, simple.
And a roof.
Covered by heavy rubber.
In the camp, you gave birth to 4 children.
Emmanuel, Vian, Jireli, and Leroy. Miwo de ka lo.
It's 449 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Logan Pemberton, and we are so glad you've joined us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky and located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest, home to Moorhead State University, St. Clair Regional Medical Center, and Cave Run Lake. The city of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. Office is located at 314 Bridge Street and by phone at 784-8505 or online at moorhead-ky.gov. Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will try to avenge last night's 8-7 10-inning loss to St. Louis when they entertain the Cardinals again this evening at 7:10. With Major League teams permitted to carry 40 players on their rosters in September, Reds manager Brian Price admits that it's sometimes difficult for him to get the pitcher-batter matchup that he'd like.
it's hard to get a matchup because, you know, they can burn a couple guys to get the right guy up there. So, you know, not a lot of matchup baseball left in September.
Ricky Davis will take his 1-2 record to the mound tonight for the Reds. He'll be opposed by 6-1 Luke Weaver for the Cardinals. Some afternoon scores from around baseball. Miami beat the Mets 9-2. Oakland beat Detroit 3-2. The Yankees blew out the Twins 11-3. And San Francisco leads Colorado 3-0, currently in the third inning. The defense for the Morehead State football team is trying to get things back on track before the Eagles host Dayton Saturday in their PFL opener. In back-to-back losses to full-scholarshiped FCS teams in Liberty and Austin Peay, MSU's defenders gave up a whopping 127 points and 1,200 yards. Redshirt junior safety Saeed Kanu says they're working to improve their communication and cohesiveness.
We're just working on everybody doing their own job. Sometimes when you do lose like that, you sometimes lose confidence within players, and sometimes you feel players might feel like they have to do multiple jobs. If we can just get everybody to do their own job, I believe that we'll be fine.
MSU will be looking for its first win over Dayton since 2008. The Kentucky football team this Saturday will try to do something that it hasn't done in 31 years, and that's beat Florida. UK coach Mark Stoops admits that he'd like to see that happen this weekend, but says he's not sure if he'll discuss the Gators' longtime domination over the Wildcats with his players.
You know, we'll see. I'll go with my gut, you know, on you know, how much we talk about that or if at all. Again, I generally don't ever talk about, like last week beating South Carolina, y'all ask me, but we don't talk about that, the fact that we beat them, you know, a couple years in a row. That doesn't matter. You know, every year's a new year. This is a new team. That's always been my approach. And every week's a new week.
The number 20 Gators will roll into Lexington at 1-1 after last Saturday's last-second 26-20 win against Tennessee. UK will be trying to add to its sparkling 3-0 record. The Round County football team will bid to open district play with a victory when the 1-4 Vikings entertain Ashland Blazer on Friday evening. Coach Kelly Ford would like to see his young team, especially its defense, continue to make progress as it faces the Athletic Tomcats.
It's crazy how our schedule's set up, but each week is getting us prepared for the next one. They're coming in at the same way of spreading the field and trying to get their kids in the space with their athletes and stuff. So hopefully it will continue on this week and excitement this week of homecoming.
Ashland Blazer crushed Round 45-0 last year. The Vikings are 0-19 lifetime against the Tomcats. A Kentucky state senator wants your next bid on the Super Bowl to help pay off the state's pension debt. Will Clark has more on that.
Senator Julian Carroll has pre-filed a bill that would allow fans to bet on professional sports at any horse track or off-track betting facility, with the majority of the revenue to go to the pensions. The bill won't be heard until the legislature comes back in January, but requires the resolution of a U.S. Supreme Court case challenging the constitutionality of a federal law that prohibits sports wagering nationwide, with a few exceptions. The American Gaming Association says there's money to be made, saying $4.7 billion will wager on the most recent Super Bowl. I'm Will Clark.
Quarterback Andy Dalton expects there to be a few changes for the Cincinnati Bengals offense under new coordinator Bill Lazor. He was promoted to the job last week after Ken Zampezi was fired. The Bengals attack had produced just 3 field goals in their first 2 season opening losses. Dalton says moving forward, there's one thing that has to change for Cincinnati's offense.
We have to score. I think that score touchdowns. I think that's the easy answer. And so for us, however that is, you know, I don't think anybody cares how it's done. It's just we want to put our best effort forward and be productive.
The Bengals play the Packers in Green Bay this Sunday. Finally, in sports, information for the University of Kentucky's annual Big Blue Madness campout is now available. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has more on that.
The annual campout will begin a week from today. Fans wanting tickets to the Big Blue's first official practice can begin camping out on September 27th at 5 a.m. around Memorial Coliseum. Tickets will be distributed on Friday, September the 29th at 10 p.m. and will be free once again this year. However, due to construction and a limited amount of space available, UK is encouraging fans to not camp out this year and instead use Ticketmaster to get the tickets online, which will also be available next Friday night at 10. Big Blue Madness will take place Friday, October 13th at 7 p.m. in Rupp Arena. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
And that's it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Dayton at 1 p.m. on Saturday for family weekend, and soccer welcomes Southeast Missouri at 6 p.m. on Friday and UT Martin at 1 p.m. on Sunday. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and Dow Jones Industrial Average both closed at record highs, and bank stocks surged after the Federal Reserve indicated another rate hike this year was possible and that it would begin the unwinding of its balance sheet next month. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 41.79 at 22,412.59. The S&P 500 was up 1.59 at 2508.24. The NASDAQ Composite, though, was down 5.28 to finish at 6456.04. Following the Fed's announcement, shares of major banks, including PNC, Bank of America, and Citigroup, were all up more than 1%. And, of course, the U.S. Central Bank announced that it will begin in October to roll off its $4.5 trillion balance sheet. At the same time, the Fed did not raise its benchmark interest rate from its current 1 to 1.25% target. However, its updated rate forecast shows that another rate hike this year is likely. And according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool, investors now see a 70% chance of a rate increase by the end of December. The U.S. dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of other global currencies, reversed course to gain almost 1% today. And on Wall Street, shares of FedEx rose about 2% after trading sharply lower before the opening this morning. The shipping giant said yesterday it expects earnings between $11.05 and $11.85 a share, below its previous projections, and the company said its adjusted outlook accounts for the impact of the TNT Express cyber attack, which FedEx said significantly affected the worldwide operations of the segment. General Mills was one of the worst performers in the S&P 500, falling more than 5% after the company posted weaker-than-expected profit. Net income fell to just over $400 million, while the company earned 71 cents a share, well short of expectations of 76 cents a share. In the commodities markets, oil was up almost 2% at $50.29 a barrel, while gold was down 0.5% at $1,303.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were mixed, and the Stock 600 index was down less than 0.1%. In the Far East, markets were also mixed, with the Shanghai index up 0.25%, and South Korea's Kospi index down 0.16%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were McDonald's and Pfizer. The worst performers were Apple and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Chesapeake Energy, and the worst performers were General Mills and Corvo. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 18 cents at 64, CSX up $1.03 at 52.81, AEP down 33 cents at 71.65, AK Steel up 2 cents at 5.63, Marathon Petroleum up a quarter at 54.45, and Fifth Third Bank was up 23 cents to finish at 27.41. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Jacob Lindberg, Brianna Robinson, Kenzie Thompson, Sean Delaney, Adrian Swain, Cody Robinson, and Braxton Howard. WKY's Josh James pitched in, and our featured segment today was Neighbors with Morehead's own Adrian Swain. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.